It's a privilege to be here before you again this evening. So often, as we gather together here and we hear the sermons that are prepared by our ministry, we hear of all of those things that we have to do to keep all of His commandments, and it seems there's quite a few things in these books that of guidelines that we have that tell us things that we're to do and things that we're not to do. And I think most of us are pretty familiar with the context of the scriptures. But one of the areas that I find that needs more of my attention is possibly something that each one of you would take a hard look at also, and that is not just what is in the scriptures, but how do we walk that straight and narrow line sometimes when it seems like some of those things, some of the commandments that we have are easy for most of us to keep. Some of, you know, it's easy for us not to kill, I hope. I know there's times when we might have just an instant thought about killing, but it's not for real. And there's a lot of the other commandments that are really easy for us to keep. But there's some of them in there that I know I have a tough time at keeping them sometimes, and I have to really work at it. And I really enjoy hearing sermons that come across the pulpit here that tell us not only what we have to do, but give us a little bit of help in how we can handle it and how we can do those things. And that's kind of what I want to work on tonight, is a little bit more of how. And this is going to be how to attack a problem that is one of my biggest problems, one of the problems that is very real to me, and I don't think I'm all that much different from everybody else here, and so perhaps it's a problem occasionally with each one of you. And if it is, then perhaps you can consider the things that I'm going to bring forth this night and the ideas that I'm going to present and think on them and pray about them, and perhaps it'll help you. I hope that it'll help me also. This is a problem that I feel like I've been able to control it better and attack it better recently in the last few months, but it's still something I have a big problem with. I'd like to read a scripture. Well, before I get right down to the actual item that I'm talking about, I want to read a couple other scriptures first. I'd like to start in the second chapter of James and read the 8th through the 11th verse. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That verse 10 there is the idea that I wanted to bring out here first. And it's something that kind of scares me a little bit when I think of, you know, I'm praying or talking to the Lord and I tell him, well, Lord, I'm keeping all of these 99 commandments you've given me. Having trouble with this other one, but 99's pretty good, isn't it? And I look at that and I think, you know, is it all or nothing? And I wonder about that in my life. The little things that might not seem real significant to me, or that I might think maybe God looks at it as not quite as serious as some of these major commandments that has been given to us. But I wonder. I'd like to read also in 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter. I think all of us probably have that little glitch in our armor, in our strength, where we can be strong in almost all aspects of the commandments that are given to us. And perhaps we have that one little area that we know of that nobody else knows of that is a problem in our life. And I'm going to assume that that's the case, and that perhaps there's something, some little thing in your life that you have trouble overcoming, whether it be major or just something you might consider minor. We're going to attack that one little thing that seems to be the biggest problem. 2 Nephi, 12th chapter. Starting with the 10th verse. Now this is talking about the modern day religions that we know of today. And it describes some of them, and I want to just start it kind of in the middle of it here. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God, and ye will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take the advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. I used to work with a guy that almost quoted that once. I asked him about the way of life that he was living. And he said, well, if it comes down to the end, these aren't exact words, but the thought that he portrayed was, if it comes down to the end, if there really is a God, then I'll repent at that time, as soon as I know for sure that there is. And I'll just tell him I'm sorry and be saved. But I don't think it's going to work like that. And I don't think any of you believe really that it's going to work like that either. The scriptures don't say that's the way it's going to work. I'd like to go over to the 18th verse. This is where it tells us what's going to happen to those people that think that way. Just in the last part of the 18th verse, it says, woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. That doesn't beat around the bush. That tells you what's going to happen to the people that have that attitude of thinking that we can get by with doing a little bit of sin. Because you can't. Now I'd like to read in the 14th chapter, 2 Nephi, and this is primarily the message that I have this evening is centered around this thought, this scripture, page 164.
This is where I find that this problem that I have used to be more dominant than it is now. I've been working on it, and I think I might have it under control a little bit better than I did. My wife might disagree with me, but in the 11th verse, "For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't have trouble praying most of the time. But there's times when something happens that we don't want to happen. It might be an argument with your spouse, or with your children, or with your parents. It might be something that happened at work or at school. It doesn't matter what it is, really. If it happens to where you put yourself in that frame of mind where you tell yourself, "I don't want to pray about it." I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me. And I don't like it. And I think of that verse, and that's one of the things that helps me to work on it more than I have in the past. But I find so often when I get mad or angry, or I let the devil start doing my thinking for me, I find it difficult to pray. And I have to fight it. I have to work on it to even be able to pray. But if that happens to you, I want each one of you that have this similar problem to what I have, if that happens to you, to where something happens and you get to that point to where you just don't want to pray about a particular thing, remember, it says right here who it is that puts that thought in your mind. Certainly not God, and it's not even you. Satan is just lurking around the corner, not very far from you at any time, waiting for an opportunity. And he might see that moment of anger that allows him to come in and dominate you or me, when really that's the last thing in the world we would want to happen, is to allow him to dominate. We don't want that. Nobody here wants that. But if it happens, rely on the Lord, no matter how hard it is, and tell yourself constantly that if that happens to me, the first thing I'm going to do is to be instant in prayer. There was a time when I thought, well, the Lord isn't that all that concerned about me. He's got millions of others to worry about. And maybe that's something that sometime in your life you had those particular thoughts. But then I can't say that anymore, because I had experiences starting about 10 years ago, and it just seems like it's been one right after the other. You hear the term used a lot, God loves you, almost to the point where it seems like some of the people that say it kind of wear it out. And sometimes I don't really think they understand the full meaning of what they're saying. But he does, and he cares, and he's concerned for each one of us. He knows every one of our problems. He knows all of our weaknesses. Not just the weaknesses that we might see in each other here, but he knows of our intimate weaknesses. And I'm glad that God deals with us on an individual basis. And for the most part, he's gentle with us. I'd hate to be punished by him every time I did something wrong. Instead, when you do that something wrong, your conscience, which could be the Spirit of God talking to you, telling you that's not right. That's how he deals with us. He doesn't cause us to have major catastrophes in our life to punish us. I'd like to read in the fifth chapter of Acts an exception to that. And I think it's something most of us are familiar with. I think this happened for an example back during the time of the apostles, starting the first verse in the fifth chapter of Acts. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also, knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the same thing happened to Sapphira, his wife. She lied to God. God could do that to you and I if he wanted to. You know he could. But instead, he deals gently with our conscience. And he allows us to hear his voice if we'll listen for it, to help us over these times and conditions that we get ourselves into sometimes. You know, if we have these problems, if you have this problem, similar to the problem that I have, which is finding yourself in that position where something has gone wrong, and you know the best thing you can do would be to pray, but there's something there inside you just saying, I don't want to. I just don't want to right now. Maybe later. If that happens to you, remember, remember and allow God to whisper to your conscience. He's just a whisper away. He loves and cares for each one of us so much. Now, Satan doesn't have near the power that God has. Nowhere near. But yet we can let him in sometimes when we don't let God in. And that's something we need to work on. We need to practice it. When it happens in our life and in your life, remember these things that I've read this evening. Satan is the one that teaches us not to pray. And it's so much more important at that particular time when you hear that voice saying you don't need to pray, or I don't want to pray right now. You know, in a way I hope all of you don't know what I'm talking about. I would hope that it's never even happened to you. But I think for many it has. Anything that you practice at, you're going to get better at. Anybody who excels in anything more than the average person is a person that has practiced at what they're doing. Now you think, well, how do you practice praying? But think about it. If you get yourself in that position, maybe you're at work. You know, there might be a lot of people working for me that I put them in that position. Remember, and you need to burn this in your mind, to remember the first thing to do is to pray about it. Because that is a victory. That's a victory over Satan right there. Just as big as can be. Be instant in prayer. And when you pray, and this is not just when you're praying about overcoming this evil that has the potential of overcoming you. When you pray, listen after you get done praying. Listen to what God has to say to you. Now, each month I get a financial statement from my accountant. First thing that I do when I get that statement, I turn to page 3 and look at the bottom line.
that tells me what we did for the previous month as far as the net profit. It's the first thing I look at. And the bottom line for each one of us is to strive for perfection. We've got the 99 of these 100 commandments or so, whatever there is. We've got almost all of them down to where it's not one of our major concerns, because they're quite a bit easier. Let's work on the ones that we have the problems with. I'd like to close with a verse in the 4th chapter of James. The 7th and 8th verse. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Thank you.